Welcome to the Kindling's Muse podcast.
Hi, this is Dick Staub with another in our Journey series, interviews with thoughtful creatives and cultural influencers. Today we continue our conversation with Oliver Sacks.
We've been enjoying a conversation with Oliver Sacks, talking about his most recent book, Uncle Tungsten, story of a medical and scientific family, a story of a boyhood in World War II England, a story of traumas and defining moments, and some of the faith tradition that he was raised in. But most certainly, the centerpiece of this book is the story of a love affair with science, with minerals, with periodic tables, with all of the stuff of science. And it's a book that opens with, "Many of my childhood memories are of metals." Talk about how that became an organizing force in your life, a refuge. You talk about lacking confidence, except when I had a natural order, a natural wonder, then I would feel a level of confidence.
Mm-hmm. Well, I came back from this crazy school with a sense that people could not be depended on. And I had a need for solidity and stability and order and clarity and predictability. And two of my uncles, my Uncle Tungsten, the chemical uncle who made light filaments, and another physics uncle, sort of in a way adopted me as proteges, or I adopted them as uncles, I don't know. And they became sort of gurus, mentors, guides in science. I think, first of all, you know, letting me range in a playful, adventurous way, although with a few bounds for safety, doing what I wanted, but also encouraging me always to look for the meaning, the explanation under the surface. Why are things the color they are? Why are they hard? What happens when they melt? And so there was always this pressing for something deeper and something unifying.
And the delightful sense of experimentation, of discovery.
Oh, I loved experiment, and you know, and I still do. And in fact, in writing this book, I've sort of fallen back into things, and my office is full of sort of crystals dangling, and electrical machines and minerals and whatnot, putting sulfur in the microwave oven. If you do that and you melt it, then you can make a lovely plastic sulfur, which is much more elastic than rubber bands. Lovely stuff. Part of the delight with experiments is having an idea of what will happen, and I think part of it is also not quite knowing.
You even use the word danger in the laboratory. That certain sense of something could happen here, and the unknown of it, along with the hopeful, predictive aspect of it.
I think anything creative is adventurous, and by the same token, has risks and has dangers. And I think this also applies, to come back to a previous question, to evolution itself. There have been many mishaps on the way, and sort of whole branches of life have become extinct, but then evolution is an adventure as well. The whole universe, I think, is like an adventure.
You set up a lab in your home, and you early on liked the explosions and the dazzling, and I think your brother Marcus bore the brunt of it once upon the removal of his eyebrows.
Oh, that was hydrogen exploding. He took it in very good part. Yeah.
You were introduced to Humphrey Davy, a poet-chemist who was a friend of Coleridge, as I understand it. And you said that what you liked about him was his exuberance and the way he approached science with the enthusiasms of a boy. And to be honest, that's the sense that I got through this whole book. It took me back to my own childhood, though we were raised in different eras and different places, to that wonderful sense of possibility and the wonderful sense of discovery. When you're young, almost everything is new. And if you have an appetite for learning and learning how things are put together, there's just such a wonderful sense of wonder about childhood when you have that kind of sense of experimentation. And my sense is that you connected with Davies because he was like you were.
Yeah, I think so, and sort of the book is about wonder. I mean, this is the theme, one of the themes.
What would another theme be of this book?
How to reconcile that with the rest of life. And I mean, right at the end, I sort of, as it were, the family business. One can't quite say the family business is wonder, or perhaps one can. But, you know, one is going to become a medical student, one's going to sit in class, and how is one going to hold on to the sense of wonder?
Someday somebody needs to go around with people who have made great contributions in society and ask them about teachers that influence them and put together a whole storybook of them. I read a lot of biographies, and every one of them at some point has some teacher that was demanding and engaging in a way that ended up with a student loving to learn, and you had one of those. Sid Pax, I think, was his name. Great teacher.
He was our biology teacher, and we were sort of all in love with him and in love with biology, and he was in love with biology. And there was nothing, we would do anything. We went on these sort of mad freshwater expeditions and plant collecting and marine biology, and we got frozen and we got baked and bitten and stung, and we loved it. But equally, I think there are times when there wasn't a teacher, and one sort of had to do things oneself.
Your thrill at the periodic tables, the periodical table of elements. How do you describe that? Why was that so important to you?
Well, because it's so neat. First, it's so neat. As you see, there are these lovely intersecting vertical and horizontal columns, and all the elements, all the building blocks of the universe are related in the most elegant, simple way. And there's also a numerical substratum. So I would think of it sometimes as God's abacus. Having described myself as a non-believer, I couldn't avoid terms sort of like that. It also epitomizes, I think, the order of the universe, at least at that level. You can depend on it. You know where you are.
You will love, folks, all of the stories of Oliver Sacks' own kind of journey through learning the lessons that scientists prior to him had learned and learning himself through experimentation. There comes a point where the attitude in the family is it's time for – the play is over. It's time to, become a professional. And you are routed towards being a physician. And you talked about your brothers. David had given up music and Marcus had given up languages. It sounds like you came back to your early days in a way that meant that you got to have both.
I suppose so. I became very hungry for music as well. You know, there's a time when the periodic table and the elements are not enough, and you need people and animals and music and all that. But for some reason, now as I advance through my 60s, these boyhood enthusiasms come back, and I've really sort of felt it strongly writing about it. I don't quite know how the present me is related to the little boy in that book.
Seriously?
I don't quite know, but at the moment I have no impulse to write a volume two.
This concludes our conversation with Oliver Sacks. Thank you for listening to Journeys on the Kindling's Muse.